For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back here on the morning show, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Happy whatever you're celebrating.
Festivus.
Or merry whatever.
It's Festivus.
Merry Hanukkah and happy Christmas.
And
Festivus for the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And Kwanzaa, Boxing Day and all that good stuff. Sitting out there right now at 49 with rain. Although it's going to be actually a really nice spring week. Sunny and 68 Tuesday. Sunny and 63 on Christmas. Sunny and 67 on Thursday.
Which is kind of nice being that G-Day is next week.
That's right.
I'm sorry, that's the sugar.
Yeah. Sunny and 67 on Friday. Time to bring in our man Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Hey, Mike, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing great, guys. How you doing?
Merry Christmas to you and all that good stuff. The thing I wanted to bring up with you first, early signing period, early signing day. It's a relatively new thing. What was this, our third one we've had? Now that we've had a couple of years, 3 years to go through this, what are your thoughts on early signing day as a whole? Do you like it?
I don't know. You know, there's good and bad about it. I think the tough part, if you're Kirby Smart, is trying to figure out what players you got coming back and which ones you got leaving, and you've got to sign early before you know which players are going to declare for the NFL draft.
That's the thing. It's just added another extra moving part into what's already kind of a little bit of a crazy month. And we're sitting here, look, I know you're – off the record, you're hearing a lot of stuff. There's certainly things that you probably know that you can't say, but Georgia's going to be Georgia's going to be down a few players for the game next week. That's another weird thing. We're not even at Christmas, and here we are talking about the game next week. But it just seems that it's I'm sure, and for the players, they should have as many rights as they can get. But I know it's a weird time of year right now with everything that the coaches are having to deal with.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot getting thrown at Kirby Smart at once. And obviously when you lose your league championship game, everybody's kind of on a down note anyway. And it's just interesting when you look on Twitter and you see all these fan bases excited about their bowl games. And you can buy a Sugar Bowl ticket for $6. Georgia fans aren't going. They're not excited about the number 5 team in the country.
Yeah, the Baylor fans aren't picking it up either. I mean, I know it's Baylor's not Texas or Oklahoma.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think they are picking it up. They're not nearly as big a program.
Right.
I mean, it's a small private school.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a perfect storm here. Is it the butterfly effect, the unintended consequences of the playoff, where bowls like the Sugar Bowl are now consolation games? That it's not one of those things that everybody is fired up about as they would have been.
A little bit, but I've seen it before. I saw the same thing happen in Tennessee. You know, we covered them, and they won the national title in 98. They went back to the Fiesta Bowl in 99 in a non-national championship game setting, and you know, there was a fraction of as many people. They never really got it back. I mean, 2001, they played Michigan in a really high-profile game after losing to LSU in the SEC title game, and not a lot of fans went. I mean, I wrote a story about it last week. Kirby's kind of created his own monster. I mean, it's almost like if Georgia doesn't play for a national championship, you know, nobody's excited, nobody's going to come to the game.
Let me ask Mike, should fans be excited about this? Because the new world we live in, we see a scenario where Andrew Thomas, Isaiah Wilson, the bookend tackles that are a big reason why Georgia's able to win football games, they're not going to play in this game. So, I mean, it's one of these weird things where I'm not saying that those two guys don't care. They're taking care of themselves, and I support that. But when the team gets depleted, why should fans be excited and rush down to New Orleans and spend a lot of money on essentially a vacation to go watch the team play?
Well, I don't necessarily think they should. I mean, they've decided they'd rather go to Jacksonville every year than try and have every opportunity to play for national titles.
Drink, Dave.
There you go. Yes.
But I'm serious. I mean, what do you want? I mean, you got your vacation in Jacksonville every year. It was a great win over Florida. Everybody celebrated it. It was like a vacation. Everybody tells me it's like a vacation to go
awesome.
Down there. So.
I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, who needs to go to New Orleans?
For the third time in 15 months.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of it, too. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's, you know, kind of a been there, done that effect. But, you know, like I said, you go to Jacksonville every year. It's a celebration. Some people like Jacksonville. Some people like New Orleans. I mean, you'd be going back to New Orleans if you were playing for a national title, so maybe people wouldn't have gone to that either. I don't know.
That's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. It's that unintended consequence of the playoff. Sure, you're going but if you're not in it, yeah, it's a consolation game.
Yeah, they're all consolation games. Maybe when Florida lost to Georgia, their guys should have just quit and not played the rest of the month because they weren't going to win a national title. At what point do guys start sitting out? You know, you lose two or three games and everybody just quits and fans stop showing up.
Well, we saw that
at Houston.
Yeah, we saw Houston do it. They took the year off, so maybe we'll start seeing more of that.
Yeah, it'd be sad. The only real thing that I'm disappointed with. And I'm not really disappointed with, but my only thought is this. I think Kirby should wait until after the bowl game to name permanent captains. I think you should wait until after the bowl game to see which guys stay with the team and which ones don't. I think that should be a factor. I saw what Auburn's Derek Brown said. You know, he's playing in the game, and I think he's projected in the top 10. And he said, hey, I was voted the team captain, and I'm not going to let my guys down. And I'm not saying that you know, people shouldn't have the right. They got the right to do whatever they want. But, you know, I think that should be something that's taken into consideration when you put a guy down as a permanent captain, because I do think the season's still going. I mean, the season's not over yet, right? And you know, that to me would factor in. If I were on a team and I was voting, I'd want to look around and see who was still there. And I'm not going to blame anybody. You can do whatever you want, but it does say something about your commitment to your teammates, whether you want it to or not.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think it's different now. It's not the same as it was. And I think that's just what we got to start getting used to, that we're going to see just the way things are now as compared to 20 years ago. Maybe you don't even have to go back that far. I don't know. But that's what it is. So
maybe guys should sit out their spring games because they don't want. I mean, they already make it so the quarterbacks don't get hit. But like I said, at what point do you decide how much you're going to play and how much you're not going to play? I mean, I admired DeAndre Swift for trying to play against LSU, but he couldn't carry the ball. I mean, he had to run out of bounds instead of getting hit. He wasn't going to get hit on his shoulder. In that situation, I mean, I don't know, maybe you're almost better if the guy doesn't play if you're injured, you know, and DeAndre was injured. I mean, that shoulder, right? He didn't want to go. And I don't know if he's going to play in this game either. And it does complicate things for Kirby, you know, because Kirby doesn't want people or Baylor to know who's missing and who's playing, and he thinks there's some competitive advantage or disadvantage to it. The only bummer about that is, you know, you're going to get to New Orleans, and the first thing you're going to hear is who quit on the team and who's suspended. That's not exactly the way you want to start the road trip. It's almost like you almost wish you could, you know, put out a press release or something and leave that behind you. You know, get to New Orleans with a positive start, and then the excitement could be over, you know, which young players you're going to get to see play for the first time. You said, like, a G-Day game, but, like, what offensive lineman are we going to see out there? And, you know, maybe we'll see more Kenny McIntosh in the backfield and, you know, more plays for James Cook and guys that didn't get a lot of opportunities.
Let me ask, because of the what we're seeing with guys, as you say, quitting on the team and some guys that'll be suspended, this is a college football problem, not a specific to Georgia problem. So let me ask this. If Georgia comes up short against Baylor, should Georgia fans throw their hands up and panic, or is this something that we should have seen coming if it comes to that from a mile away and it's no big deal, move on to 2020? Thinking worst-case scenario for fans, how should they react if New Year's night does not go their way?
Well, I mean, you always want your team to win and represent. It's, you know, it's more about the – I think the biggest concern is, like, you know, just the infrastructure. I mean, some players go pro everywhere, but not everybody's got guys academically ineligible that are fourth-year juniors or guys getting suspended for drug tests. That doesn't happen everywhere. Or guys that are driving around Athens after midnight on a suspended license. That doesn't happen everywhere. That's a sign of the leadership, and I've talked about it all year, that Georgia's internal leadership isn't great. They haven't recovered from losing those 2017 guys. They had great leadership in 2017, great leadership. They had the best college football program in the country in 2017. Should have won the national title, one play away from it, right? And when those leaders moved on, those guys haven't been replaced. They're trying. He's doing everything he can. They're paying money to fly those guys down and ride jet skis just so they'll spend time together. But you can look on their Instagram. They're not spending time together on the weekends. Heck, Jake's out hunting on the weekend. He's not hanging around those other guys. They're not hanging out with him. They're all doing their own thing, playing their own music, putting up the, you know, everybody's in their own car. Georgia, you know, you look at Joe Burrow, conversely, and how close they were with the LSU receivers. That was a tight-knit group. That LSU stuff, it wasn't just about the offense. One, it was about those talented receivers. But two, it was about the chemistry, you know. And I don't think Georgia's had that. And I think that, you know, last year probably wasn't real healthy for the chemistry. I think the locker room was somewhat divided. You know, and that's just, you know, part of what comes with it when you got two great quarterbacks. Some guys think this guy to be playing. The other guy, you know, thinks this guy to be playing. And then Kirby brings him to the bowl game, even though he says he's leaving. So that whole deal was a stink pot. You got guys there that don't even want to be there. Now, this year, Kirby's not going to bring guys that don't want to be there. So he learned a little something from it. But I think some of the damage is done, and I think Georgia right now is in a big transition. And, you know, this game is part of the transition. Maybe some new leaders will emerge. Maybe some new stars of tomorrow will emerge with some of these guys gone. Because we're looking at a makeover. I'm still waiting to hear what Jake Fromm's going to do for sure. Mm-hmm. If he goes, you know, pro, or if he comes back.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about him. He's got to deal with all of that stuff. And that's another thing that makes things complicated when you're recruiting, because you've got the early signing day before, you know, a lot of these guys are, I think with obviously an Andrew Thomas, even Isaiah Wilson, at least you know with those guys, you know what they're doing. It's the ones that you're not sure about that makes this kind of tricky. And could we have a grad transfer quarterback starting game one against Virginia next year? I mean, it's certainly at this point, it's a possibility. Not saying it's going to happen, but it's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, well, whoever's at quarterback, you know, has got a receiving core that's awful green. I mean, this year's was pretty inexperienced, but think about next year's.
Yep.
I mean, who do you got coming back? You got Blaylock, you hope is back.
Yeah.
You hope that Dominic Blaylock is back for fall drills with the knee injury. You got George Pickens, you don't know what planet he's going to be on. I mean, you know, is he going to be fighting or going to class or showing up or making catches or running the right route or lining up off sides? I mean, most talented guy in the world, but nobody over there seems to be able to coach him. We'll see. Maybe next year we'll see a different George Pickens. But right now, I don't think you can count on him. I don't think you can say, oh, man, yeah, I'm putting him down for 50 catches right now. I can't do that based on what I've seen, not the lack of poise he showed against Georgia Tech and how much that hurt the team with him being gone in the first half against LSU. So you can't really count on him. So who do you got? You got the four receivers you signed. I'm trying to think who else.
Well, you got Kyaris Jackson coming back. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Landers. There's another one that throw out there.
Well, I mean, at least, but here's the thing. That's why, you know, these people start talking about firing, you know, coordinators and change. Guys, I don't care what offense you run. if you've got receivers that can't get open, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And if you've got great receivers, it doesn't matter what offense you're on. I mean, it really doesn't. And again, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I've seen this before. At other schools, not just Tennessee, I saw the same thing happen in Alabama. Saw the same thing happen in Michigan State. Everybody up there at Michigan State right now, oh, man, that Michigan State offense is really bad. Yeah, guess what? Your players aren't as good. And that's what happened at Georgia at wide receiver. I put out a tweet on that. You know, everybody, oh, Georgia, you know, next man up. Well, you're on your seventh next man up. Think about this. You had three underclassmen targets that went pro last year, right? You had Hardman, Ridley, and Nauta go pro. That's three. Then J.J. Holloman gets kicked off the team. So that's four. Lawrence Cager's out. That's five. Dominic Blaylock's out. That's six. So we're talking about the seventh next man up. And of those guys coming back, Tyler Simmons, shoulder injury, missed time. Kyrus Jensen, broken hand, missed time. Demetrius Robertson, hamstring, hadn't looked like a track guy all year. Tommy Bush, groin injury. So you're down to your seventh man, and of the remaining guys, four guys have been injured. So when the Clemson fans or the Alabama fans or whoever want to target Georgia and talk about, you know, what an underachieving group, you got to say, look, man, your receiving corps got hit with a tsunami. Now, is some of it preventable? Maybe some of it. But I don't know how you recruit to losing seven guys, underclassmen, or to injuries, and then have four more guys miss time injured. And that, in a nutshell, is what's wrong with the Georgia offense, is what's wrong with Jake Fromm, and what's wrong with Georgia football on the field. Now, what's disappointing is that off the field, the internal leadership hasn't kicked in. And you got guys driving around after midnight, failing drug tests, and getting suspended from school, and going pro early. That's locker room. And Kirby can put half the team on the leadership committee, and it's not going to matter because some of those guys are the ones having the problems. That's what's alarming right now.
Well, Mike, we appreciate your time every Monday morning. Thank you so much again. Merry Christmas. And I guess when are you headed down to New Orleans?
I'll go down there the day after Christmas. And by then, Kirby will turn the page by then.
Yep.
The sooner this team gets out of Athens and turns the page at that bowl game, the better for everyone. So I'm looking forward to the Sugar Bowl. I know we've talked about why fans wouldn't be, and I get why fans wouldn't be. They could sit at home and watch it. It's hard to be festive when you don't know who's going to be playing and all that. But when the guys get down there and the ones that are engaged dig in, Kirby will have the page turned. It's just right now, it's a tough time. There's no doubt about it. Right now, it's a tough time for Georgia. But when he gets down there, he doesn't stay down long, guys. I'll just tell you that. Kirby Smart doesn't stay down very long. Right now, he's pissed off. But once he gets down there and starts working with the guys and towards that game, he'll turn the page.
I agree with you. I totally agree with it. And I think last year was a lesson learned that they're taking into this year for heading back there. Totally agree with you.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Regardless of if they miss four or five starters, I still think they'll beat Baylor. I really do, especially if Jake decides he's coming back, because Jake is a leader. He just needs some guys around him that are willing to be led.
Just got to find some offensive linemen for the game.
Oh, they got those.
For the game.
They got them.
They're just green. Talking about some of the guys.
They'll be all right on the line. They just got to find some guys to catch passes. That's the big thing.
Mike, thanks again, my man, and we'll catch you next week.
All right.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.